Hello and welcome to the Persephone program. It's been months since I've podcasted, and today is February 2nd, 2023. It's Candlemas. It is the midpoint between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And for me, I feel like it's really the beginning of the year. I know a lot of people have felt energetically that our 2023 didn't really begin until the end of January, the lunar new moon. And I feel that. I think that the Mercury retrograde and the Mars retrograde beginning the year definitely made for a very sleepy January where not much happened. And that could have been frustrating for a lot of people as well. But here we have the beginning of February, and I want to talk today about February, about 2023's astrology, and also, and more importantly, about Pluto in Aquarius. And we will just begin our discussion of this so important impending ingress, which is happening in March. I think it's March 23rd, so in 6 weeks or so. Really close to the spring equinox. And it's a big deal. It's a big fucking deal in astrology. So we'll end the podcast talking about that. And definitely, as always, would love to hear your ideas and opinions and thoughts on the matter. So feel free to always connect with me on Instagram at myprentice. At persephoneprogram.com or at my personal email, which is michelle.prentice@gmail.com. So February astrologically is fairly evenly, you know, with the exception of the full moon, which is upcoming, which is this Sunday, the 5th, I believe. It's pretty calm in comparison to what we've dealt with, certainly for the last year. The big deal, I guess, would be this full moon that's coming up in Leo. Typically, I love Leo and I love a full moon in Leo because Leo's dramatic and fiery and energetic. So it's a great full moon to have a party or hang out or celebrate, you know, or just have a good time. A full moon makes it even, you know, just even more so. So it's like extra drama. But this is square Uranus. This full moon. So that makes it maybe a contentious point, or maybe something's coming up. But I'm feeling, I mean, typically this kind of contentious point happens at the waxing square, which is about a week before the full moon. So usually if there's like a full moon issue you're dealing with personally, you'll find it come up almost like a week before the full moon. I don't know if you have ever paid attention to that. Like, you know, the theme arises energetically, and then it's kind of, in a certain way, kind of like dealt with at the full moon. So we're you know, only like 3 days away, and I don't know how you guys feel, but things, you know, yes, there's a lot of, in the collective, there's a lot of problems. It's a lot of martial problems, especially. And this is a very Aryan year. You know, our first solar eclipse is at 29 degrees Aries, and the North Node is moving to Aries. There's a lot about this year that is very martial and Mars-oriented, okay, and Aryan. And so it's not surprising to me that we're having, like, a lot of violence, and especially gun violence, which is extremely Mars-related and Aryan. But other than that, I feel like this month will be easier. So we've got this full moon coming up. I would say it's a great full moon for release. So if you want to do that bay leaf ritual, or take your little scraps of paper and write down what you are just ready to get rid of, even if it's your own fucking drama, you know, it's great. Mercury moves to Aquarius on the 11th from Capricorn. And, you know, I think that the focus on Aquarius is really strong this month, and, you know, obviously upcoming, but it's like nice for Mercury to move in Aquarius. It's in an air sign again, which it likes to be in. It's more, I guess, balanced and rational, you know, and it's past its conjunction with Pluto, which is very dark. Okay, so we have You know, Venus is in Pisces right now, and it is going to conjunct Neptune on the 15th. It will also make an aspect to Saturn. What does it say? I'm trying to read my own notes. Anyway, Venus is conjunct Neptune on the 15th. We have a Sun-Saturn conjunction on the 16th. And you know, astrology was used in ancient times also to predict the weather, the actual physical weather. So it's not just the psychological and cosmic weather, but it is the physical weather as well, further keeping that as above, so below connection. And you know, Sun-Saturn conjunction is like really very much about cold, you know? So I think it's fitting that our Groundhog Day today, that he did see a shadow and that we're going to have more cold before the spring equinox. The sun will move to Pisces around the 18th, the 18th, 19th. And we will have a brand new moon right away at 1 degree, which is interesting. We're having a lot of new moons in the early degrees, which is really kind of cool. This is very Piscean. It's very dreamy, releasing. I think it's going to give us a good indication of what to expect with the upcoming Saturn in Pisces, which is happening March 7th, so really soon. So we'll get this kind of idea. Now, I just kind of briefly want to go over the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Pisces, which happened, you know, almost a year ago. And I know that a lot of astrologers were like, well, we don't know what to expect. This hasn't happened in a very long time, you know? And it was interesting because I feel like in hindsight, a lot of themes of surrender and victimization came up, as well as magical themes, you know, loving themes, caring themes around the world, you know, how the world responded to Ukraine, for instance, but also the victimization as a theme, kind of almost like the crucifixion of Christ and all of the many, many crucified and sacrificed gods of all time is part of this Pisces archetype. Martyrdom, crucifixion, releasing. In Pisces, at the, you know, as the last sign of the zodiac, is very much about mystical oneness and also like release, you know. So there's this element of death involved in it, but also this element of rebirth too, you know, as the kind of alpha omega type idea. So this new moon in Pisces could bring a lot of like mystical oneness. It could bring, oh God, I hope it does, an end to some suffering, or even a more of a deeper realization of what is being victimized by us in, you know, through our own power. So that'll be something to look at, okay? The 20th. Venus moves to Aries on the 20th too. So Venus in Aries is very much about also like claiming our power and owning our power. It'll be interesting because this year we do have a Venus retrograde, which will be in Leo, which I'll talk about in a minute. So we have another Venus and fire sign theme, again, about taking our power and claiming our power, not just in receiving love and attracting love, but also going and getting it, okay? Going and getting your own happiness, going after your joy, okay? That's a theme. And you know, I think that I had mentioned in many of my writing that we don't have any planets retrograde currently until around April 20th. So the planets in our, the boundary planets in our solar system that we recognize as planets generally are not retrograde, but we do have the planetoid Ceres, which is considered to be a minor dwarf planet, in retrograde from today, which is February 2nd, through, I think it's May 6th. And it's in Libra, and it retrogrades back to Virgo. And I had done a podcast earlier on some of the asteroid goddesses and talked about Ceres, but Ceres is named after the Greek goddess Ceres, Demeter. Ceres, actually, Ceres is a Roman name. Our term for cereal does come from Ceres. She was the goddess of grain and agriculture, the classic, you know, Mother Nature. She was the mother of Persephone, and her myth of taking away the abundance and fertility of Earth during her daughter's abduction and in the underworld by Pluto is a very sort of a big story on, you know, the seasons, the reason we have winter and fall, and why do things die and are reborn. But Ceres, from an astrological standpoint, represents the mother principle, the principle of nurturance in our charts, and it is something to look at. And since Ceres is in Libra currently and moving back to Virgo, again, the theme of relationships and relating and getting what we want is at hand. So take a look where late degree Libra is in your own chart, and early Libra or mid to early Libra back to late Virgo. So where is it in your chart wheel, you know? And we have Ceres there. So Ceres is asking us to look at our own ability to mother and mother ourselves, to nourish and nurture ourselves and others. And there's a shadow and light aspect to that too. So that's an opportunity, okay? Retrogrades are always opportunity. We're going to have an opportunity later this year to talk about how we're getting our needs met, how we're happy through the Venus retrograde in Leo. Okay, so that's kind of February, and let's kind of get into the year. I've been thinking about podcasting on the year for a while, and of course, I just wasn't in a position to be able to do it. I was in South America, and I was trying to figure out how to do this on my phone and like upload it, and I didn't. I took some time to really rest, which is something that I would very much encourage you to do while you can, is to take a break, okay? Take a break. Any break, a weekend break, a daily break. I feel like a new person. Even though I did come back from South America feeling fabulous and immediately getting, you know, this sinus thing that I have to now take prednisone for, but regardless, I feel it. I feel good. All right. So we have, 2023, the end of an era, okay? We've got Pluto moving to Aquarius. We have Saturn moving to Pisces this year. We have the lunar nodes moving from Taurus Scorpio to Aries Libra. And much of this happens in March, which is next month. Big, big themes. Saturn moves to Pisces on the 7th. So we only have a few weeks left of Saturn in Aquarius, the end of a cycle. We have Pluto moving to Aquarius on the 23rd. We've got the ingress of the nodes into Libra Aries on the 23rd. Big deal, right after the vernal equinox. We have Jupiter conjunct Chiron, which is happening the 26th of this month through the 18th, then moving to Taurus on May 16th. So Jupiter's been in Aries, moving very fast. It was in Aries this time last year. It moved to Aries last year. Then it did its little retrograde back into Pisces and then moved forward in December. And so it's moving very fast through Aries. It'll be conjoined with Chiron. I think that could be a potential for some massive healing, especially if you're a cardinal sign of Aries, you know, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, especially if you have Chiron in Aries and you're having your own Chiron return. To have Jupiter there is really beneficial. That would be for those of you that are 50 years old, so not many of you. But we have Jupiter moving to Taurus on May 16th, which will be quite nice. And very helpful for those Tauruses that have been dealing with Uranus in Taurus and the freaking eclipses in Taurus Scorpio. They're not over yet, but they're getting there. Our solar eclipses for 2023 start 420. 420, dude. So there's big events happening in March, okay? February is calm. March is major. March is like, you know, circle your calendar for the 7th and for the 23rd. You know, those are just threshold dates, okay, where things appear. Remember that these energies are like a stone dropping into water. They ripple out. And certainly Pluto's going to be in Aquarius for over 20 years. 20 years, that's a long time, okay? So this is just the beginning. It's only going to be at 0 degrees this coming year, but you will get a taste. Typically when outer planets, especially, ingress into the sign that they are doing their work in, you will get a taste, you know, like a trailer for the movie, you know? So we'll see that in March. Then in April, we have our first solar eclipse, okay? So remember, we have all our planets direct too, except for Ceres. And we have this solar eclipse at 29 degrees Aries. Also, like the 0 and 29 are what we call critical degrees, the very beginning and the end. And they are like 29 degrees, both of them are like exclamation points on Aries. And so this solar eclipse is going to be pretty major in the collective. And if you have any planets at 29 degrees, or you do have, you know, planets in the cardinal signs, you're really going to get like a boom. So it's a big old solar eclipse. I like it. I think it's very much about action. I'm excited. We have May 5th, the lunar eclipse at 14 degrees Scorpio. It is the very last Scorpio lunar eclipse. So those of you that are Scorpionic, have a lot of Scorpio or Pluto in your chart too, this is it. Okay. It's interesting because my south node is 14 degrees Scorpio. So we've got this lunar eclipse right there on my south node. So I'm a little bit not liking that. But, you know, lunar eclipses are very much about endings, and they can be kind of intense. So I am just going to like purge, pray, and protect during that time period. Let me see. Gosh, I have two separate things going on here. Oh yeah. So what I wanted to say was the Aries Libra ingress to the nodes actually isn't until July 17th through, 1/12/2025. So it isn't 3/23/23. I don't know what happened with that, but, it's July. All right. Venus is in Leo from June 5th to October 8th. Okay. And this is pretty major because, as I mentioned, we have the Venus retrograde from August 23rd through September 15th. I'm going to do a workshop on that because it's a big deal, you know, especially for those of us that are seeking to find love and happiness and joy and to relate better to ourselves and others. This is an opportunity, okay? It is an opportunity year for us. This is an energetic potential for new ways and modes, okay? And Venus retrograde always gives us this opportunity to take a deep dive, to go into our own underworld and come out with pearls of wisdom through our journey into our own shadow. And so a Venus retrograde is a big deal. So definitely if you've got planets or points in your chart, the first, fourth, seventh, and 10th house cusps, if you have any of those in Leo or the fixed signs, this Venus retrograde is going to be a big deal for you. Okay. That means if you have an ascendant in Taurus, in Scorpio, Leo, or Aquarius, this Venus retrograde is going to be really important to you, as well as major planets, especially if you've got Venus and Leo. Our Mercury retrogrades, we just finished one on the 18th of January. We've got a April 21st. That's our first retrograde, April 21st through May 15th. there'll be a Mercury retrograde in Taurus, and then also December 13th through January 2nd of 2024, we'll have our last Mercury retrograde in Capricorn. Let's see, we've got our Venus retrograde. You know, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, they retrograde every single year. It's typically through the summer months. Not really that big of a deal, but the Jupiter retrograde will be in Taurus from September 9th through the 31st. So we're going to spend like the last part of our year with a Jupiter retrograde in Taurus, which is to me not that big of a deal. Saturn will retrograde June 17th through November 4th in Pisces. Uranus will retrograde August 29th through it looks like 1:27 in Taurus. 23 to 19 degrees, Neptune, June 30th through December 6th, and Pluto in Aquarius will retrograde from 0 degrees to May 2nd to 27, back to 27 in Capricorn. So Pluto, and that's a great segue for Pluto, because Pluto in Aquarius is going to be a big deal, and we'll just see it at 0 degrees this year, okay? So we're going to have from March 7th, no, that's Saturn, March 23rd through May 5th, we'll have Pluto at 0 degrees, giving us our little look at what to expect. And then it will retrograde to 27 degrees Capricorn. So, you know, it'll go back over the themes of Capricorn a little bit towards the end of this year. That's why this year is like the beginning, but it's almost like a toe in the water, if that makes sense. We're certainly, the United States is certainly still experiencing its Pluto return. And I'm sorry, Pluto will be back in Capricorn September through October, but it will never perfect exactly the Pluto return. You know, and then we're having the, interestingly enough, we're having the, our, you know, during that time period that Pluto is back in Capricorn, we will have our first eclipses that kind of square that, which is October 14th at 21 degrees Libra. So I don't really think that, I would say that the October 14th at 21 degrees Libra would loosely square Pluto back in Capricorn at that time, but not exact. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal, but it is important, and it does connect with the United States. October 28th, we have our last Taurus lunar eclipse, which is at 5 degrees. Let's talk about Pluto and Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign. The symbol is the water bearer, but the water that the youth or the woman in whatever, you know, image you see pours out looks also almost like energy too. You know, the symbol for the wavy lines could certainly be energy or water. Okay. Aquarius is very much, you know, ruled by both Saturn and Uranus. And Aquarius is very much associated with the idea of societal change from an ideological standpoint or in an idea standpoint. Because it is the element of air which does rule ideas and thought rather than materialism like an earth sign or you know, inspiration and spirituality and initiatory energy like fire, or emotional and intuitive energy like water, we have a focus less on actual things or building things and more on ideas, building ideas, more on things that are less tangible than say Earth, which is we've had Pluto in Capricorn for, you know, since 2008. Now, Pluto as a planet is our new boundary planet, okay? Our latest boundary planet. And it does represent the idea of the underworld, the shadow of death, finality, but also of deep transformation. It contains within it all of these things, right? It is the end. It is both the end and the beginning of things, but through the experience and process of a kind of a death. And sometimes that also means going within the depths of things. So there's death and depth involved in Pluto. So it really is archetypally an underworld planet and a boundary planet. It's like, if you want to go beyond, you always have to meet what the Buddhists call the dweller on the threshold. So Pluto is also associated with fear and horror, similarly to Saturn, which, as the last planet that can be seen by the human eye, was formerly and still is associated with death. You know, Saturn was the Grim Reaper with the scythe, all of that in ancient symbology. Pluto is also similar to the Lord of the Underworld, but they both kind of represent different aspects of boundaries, really. I mean, it's very much about boundaries. Pluto is also about power, massive power, and certainly about transformation. It's so interesting that it is this tiny, tiny ice giant at the end of things. But man, does this planet do a number on human, or the human experience, on human consciousness, on human life. And I can tell you, as someone that has been through it and has observed it for more than 40 years, it is, you know, nothing to trifle with. So Pluto can be scary. Pluto can represent horror. Pluto as a generational planet does bring in certain types of quote unquote horrors. Okay. And that's from a collective standpoint. Generationally, you know, Pluto, the sign that Pluto's in, talks a lot about what people are trying to work with, build and rebuild, but also about like what they have to deal with, you know. Let's give some examples. The Pluto and Libra generation of the 70s had to deal with divorce for the first time collectively in massive waves, as the quote unquote me generation, the Pluto and Leo, the boomers, decided that they didn't want to be in traditional marriages. And so people that, you know, but people were getting divorced left and right. I mean, when I was growing up in San Francisco, you know, in the 70s, like, I don't think I knew, maybe there was like one family I knew that were still married, and they were like really, really old and they had adopted their kids. Pluto and Scorpio people, you know, had to deal with the reality of growing up during a pandemic too, which was the AIDS epidemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. But it was real. It was certainly incredibly frightening, especially for people growing up at that time to be seeing a plague like that happening everywhere. There was so much involved in that time too, politically, you know, in regards to, I mean, there was like horrible things happening in South America. I remember like with the Sandinistas and Nicaragua, not that there isn't always horrible things happening. Pluto and Sagittarius, but there was like attacks, you know, from, and if you could say that like Pluto can represent horror, and as, you know, traditionally there's an association also with Mars, you know, I think like Scorpio has Mars and Pluto, you know, ruling it. But there's like, you know, Pluto also can represent like what is attacking us, you know. In Scorpio, it was sex through sexuality, right? It, you know, sexuality was killing us, you know, in droves, you know, through AIDS. In Sagittarius, that was like, think about like all of the ideological wars that were happening in the Middle East. That was really a heyday during that time period. And then sort of almost culminating in 9/11, you know, Pluto and Sagittarius. Sagittarius has rulership over religion and spirituality to a certain extent, you know, the philosophy of, you know, what is, and philosophy, you know, what is right, what is correct. Also global cultures and their, you know, sort of Tower of Babel, like ability or inability to get along. Pluto moved into Capricorn in 2008 and immediately began to attack our constructed institutions. This is Capricorn, right? It's about like, what have we put together? You know, we had the financial crisis. So it was like our financial institutions, our governmental institutions, those types of things we've had to deal with in massive ways, because not only do we have Pluto there, we also had Pluto there square the planet Uranus, which was in Aries from, I think it was, you know, the square aspect was like in range from like 2012, 2013 through, you know, up to the Saturn-Pluto conjunction of 2020. We had Uranus square Pluto, and then we had Saturn conjunct Pluto starting a new cycle, a new Saturn and Pluto cycle, you know, in January of 2020. And, you know, that brought on massive, both Saturnian and Plutonic themes, power and powerlessness, governmental control. I was in Capricorn too, governmental control, death, you know, a global pandemic, restriction, closeting. And then all of this was sort of like introduced. And through that, we moved kind of into this whole new paradigm by the end of 2020 with a Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in Aquarius, kind of introducing us to the theme of Aquarius, okay? Not that the theme hasn't always been there within the collective, but this is what we're working on now. So we've had all of this destruction of varying things in our society, and this was true globally. Maybe it was more true as I'm speaking as an American and a United States person, you know? Maybe it was more true in the US, but, you know, the more I travel, and I have traveled quite a bit, the more I see that the United States in many ways is a cultural global world lead. I mean, it's a global leader. As an aside, I was commenting to my partner who is from South America that no matter where we go, and especially like in South America and places where they don't speak any English, the television's filled with, you know, Hollywood movies that are dubbed, but also the fashions that people wear. Like everybody walking the streets of, say, like Buenos Aires or in the streets of Cordoba or Mendoza, we're wearing t-shirts with American company slogans, you know, and with American phrases and words, you know, and they may not speak fluent English, but they know just do it or, you know, party all night long or whatever it is that they're wearing, you know, which really kind of tripped me out, you know. And it's true when I go to Europe or anywhere else, like I'm just like, wow. You know, it's really amazing how American culture has spread, you know, the global experiment, you know, the melting pot has spread to the world. And that's why I believe that globalization is a big piece of Pluto and Aquarius and what we're going to see even more so. But we're going to talk a little bit more about the horror of Pluto. So Pluto and Aquarius, right? What does Aquarius have rulership over? It is the element of air. It represents science and technology. It represents ideology. The last time Pluto was in Aquarius was 1777 through 97, I think, or 98. What happened? That was what we call the Age of Enlightenment. It was the time of massive revolution, especially in the United States and in Europe. It was the French Revolution, which was horrifying. You know, the idea. So it's like the idea of free, you know, egalite, you know, fraternite and all of that. Great idea. There were some amazing ideas that came up, but the actuality of it was a little devoid of human compassion. Right. And that can be some of the issues of Aquarius. Right. It is so analytical. I mean, it's been likened to in a pop culture standpoint, Mr. Spock type idea, you know, that, you know, the lack of emotion, the idea that, you know, ideas for their own sake, especially important ones, are worth any sacrifice. OK, any sacrifice. So Pluto in Aquarius could certainly mean horror coming from that. And it's really interesting because, or, you know, attacks coming from that, like cyber attacks. I definitively think that that is one of the big ways that, you know, terrorism is going to attack is through, you know, taking down grids, taking down systems, whether it's, you know, power systems or even financial I think that Pluto and Aquarius, we're going to see more and more AI, both the benefit and the horror of it. We're going to see, you know, we already are seeing kind of like, you know, crazy geniuses like Elon Musk, who just is such a, like, you know, what, in fact, I don't even have his chart in front of me, but he just seems so goddamn Aquarian, you know, doing stuff like taking Twitter and then just, you know, turning it into this crazy Wild West insanity. The tech industries also being, you know, laying off thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But I think that there will be some comeuppance to all of this. Certainly the overvaluing of technology, over human, over, like, you know, the human spirit. Again, it, like, brings me to the idea of Star Trek. And if you haven't ever watched Star Trek, do watch it. Both the first season and the Next Generation are great. There's just so many great ideas about what we could live like in the future, you know? And I'd always hoped that this Aquarian age would bring on that idea of, you know, the Federation of Planets, you know, and, like, all these people working together to go, you know, where no man or woman has gone before, you know, to boldly seek out new ways, you know. That's so Aquarian to me. And so I think that we are going to step big. And you already are seeing, like, space travel and space, like, it's in the news, as well as the destruction and kind of, like, recreation, I think, of social media. That will be a huge thing, right? We will definitively find out how much the government is spying on us, and how much more than the government, that actually more than the government, it's the tech companies, you know, it's your phone. It's like literally everything that you are doing is, you know, being spied on upon. And I think that that's really true in some countries like China, that's using, you know, the idea of fear, like through, like, COVID and stuff and COVID traffic tracking, to monitor and track all of their citizens and control them. So, you know, Pluto and Aquarius, all these, like, technology, social media themes are going to come up, space, cyber attacks, the computer. So I think that's going to be, like, a big theme for us for the next 20 years. Like, we're going to really see that. But one of the things that I want to say about Pluto and Aquarius, and, you know, if you are an Aquarius, or you have planets in Aquarius, you know, this is a long, long transit, okay? And I think with Pluto, you need to trust Pluto. Pluto is, like, you have to put your hand in Pluto's hand, okay? Because I, as you may know, am a Capricorn, and my sun is at 6 degrees, my ascendant is at 2 degrees, and my Venus is at 18 degrees. And so I have been through it, okay? You know, right now, Pluto is still squaring my midheaven, which is at 23 degrees Libra, and squaring my IC, which is at 23 degrees of Aries. So I remember when Pluto first moved into Capricorn in 2008, I was scared, and I talked to my mom about it. You know, as an astrologer, I have to say that, you know, I was wary, okay? And my mom has, she has a stellium in Virgo. She passed at the Saturn Pluto conjunction, which was, by the way, conjunct her IC, at the time of her passing. Very telling. I think that, looking at the end of things and the beginning of some, you can tell that from the IC, the cusp of the fourth house. So anyway, she had said, you know, I've had Pluto across all the planets and, you know, in my chart, I've had it across my ascendant. And she gave me some tips, you know, and a lot of them had to do with, like, connecting with the energy of Pluto. And, she's like, I did an altar. I did all this stuff, you know? And she said that she remembered that especially when Pluto moved across her ascendant, that she had moments of great power. And some of them had to do with facing her fears. At that time, my mother actually had to fly to London to testify at my father's trial. And it was a very big deal. That's a story for another time, but it's a big one. Anyway, she was like, well, you know, if, so I leaned into it, you know, but I still had to face, like almost like my deepest fear. And I think that, that Pluto requires that. If you want to consciously approach your own life and its experiences as an evolutionary tool, okay? If you want to work with Pluto, trust Pluto. Pluto will give you immense power. It will show you how you can wrecking ball aspects of your life, how you can meet fears, how you can face your fears. And through the facing of the things that you are scared of, through your own boundaries, okay? If you think about fears as boundaries, what are your boundaries, okay? Now, boundaries are not always fears, and I know we use the word boundary a lot, you know, in our lives. Like, I have really good boundaries. I told them they can't go into my room and, you know, make noise, whatever. Or like, my friends can't talk shit about me or take advantage of me. I have good boundaries, okay? There's boundaries and there's real boundaries, okay? Boundaries are thresholds where you move from one state to another, okay? Boundaries are also, I guess you could call them walls, you know, where you put up certain, like, don't cross this, right? What I'm talking about are the boundaries that we've put up in our own lives psychologically to that impede us from growth. If we are called towards something from that still small voice within, from our own soul, from our psyche, and we have fears, we have things that are stopping us from achieving that or from connecting with that, those are boundaries that we can cross, okay? I think that we cross a boundary when we die. When we die, we cross a boundary, okay? That is a energetic boundary, a, you know, whatever you want to call it, a dimensional boundary. Pluto can take you through some boundaries where you may have to face some of your fears and come out the other side. Pluto will provide you with the power and the agency and the energy to do that. And, you know, that's part of life. And so Pluto in Aquarius is going to have us both finding our power through its archetypal journey of future forward, ideological, scientific, you know, leaps and bounds. And it'll also find us looking at our shadow through that too. So I think that that will be a really interesting thing to continue to observe and evolve through. Reminding us too that Aquarius's energy is a carrier, right? It is Aquarius's form as the water bearer or the energy bearer is a carrier for the human spirit as the human evolutionary energetic theme, right? Which involves a combination of elements, but is very much connected to the idea of the waters of inspiration, the primordial waters of gestation, right? So it's like, you know, I read an article recently about how, like, you know, that new chat box, you know, is a real issue for authors and writers and professors, and that AI, you know, could replace humans in creative work. Never. Okay. Remember, it is a tool that we have created, a technology that we have created to duplicate, but can never replicate us because we have this immortal spirit. We have this creative energy that receives information from multiple sources, from the primordial waters of creation, from the gods, from, you know, that I don't think that anything that we kind of create can replicate, okay? We don't know where we get our ideas. We don't know sometimes where we get our emotions from. Those are the types of things that will always be human. And we have to remember that, you know, that we are special and unique in that way. All right. Well, I, as always, ranted for a long time, but I kind of want to give you like a taste of like, okay, what's up for, you know, for 2023, remembering too that, you know, the ingress of the nodes doesn't happen until July, not March. But March is a lot. Okay. March is a lot. And I will promise to podcast and talk about March more and talk about Pluto and Aquarius more and talk about Saturn and Pisces. And I have Saturn and Pisces. So I definitely have something to say on that. And I think that I will do an entire podcast on Saturn and Pisces and how it could affect you through the signs, all of that. And I certainly will do that also for Pluto and Aquarius and what to expect. But for now, this is what you got. I think I made it almost to an hour, which is a long time for me. Thanks for listening to my babbling. And as always, it is such a pleasure to share this journey of awareness with all of you. Thank you for listening. Love to hear from you. And happy February, happy Candlemas, happy midpoint between the solstice and the equinox. And lots of love.